WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, October 3rd, 2016. That's right, it's a new month, folks. Can you believe that? Already October. And we've got a busy show. Busy show, folks, as we will recap what took place in relation to the Michigan State football team as they fell to Indiana. Can you believe that? A shocker to many. Michigan State coming into that matchup as the favorite team. Coming off a loss to Wisconsin, foaming at the mouth. You think they get a win, right? Well, that did not happen. Michigan State now starts the Big Ten year 0-2. We will chat about what went wrong for the Spartans and how they plan to bounce back this weekend against BYU at home. How about the Michigan Wolverines, though? In complete contrast, folks, the Wolverines look fantastic. 5-0 on the year. They beat the team that beat Michigan State to open up Big Ten play in Wisconsin at the Big House. We will talk about the Wolverines and just a bad weekend for the Tigers, a bad weekend for the Detroit Lions. Just if you aren't a Michigan fan, you're not feeling great on this Monday, all right? So we'll talk about all of that. Also, we will invite Adam Biggers to the show, sports reporter for Today's U Sports. Adam will break down his thoughts on the Michigan football team. He was actually at Jim Harbaugh's morning presser today, and he will be heading to actually the Michigan men's basketball media day, which is slated for later on in the afternoon. So we will chat with Adam about his thoughts on the Big Ten college football year and get his thoughts on the Michigan Wolverines. But before we dive into all of that jazz, you guys know how we start the show. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, with the loss to Louisville, to Clemson, Michigan moved up a spot in the coaches' poll to number 4, matching their AP ranking. Now, Michigan outlasted Wisconsin 14-7 and head east next week to take on Boston College. Now, Michigan State fell 24-21 in overtime to Indiana and is out of both polls. The Spartans will try to end the two-game skid against BYU at home this weekend. Get this, though. Row the boat, folks. Western Michigan has found themselves ranked after improving to 5-0 this year. The Broncos took down Central Michigan easily and are now the 25th team in the coaches' poll. Next up is a home meeting with Northern Illinois. An update on the Michigan football team coming out of this morning's press conference with head coach Jim Harbaugh. Michigan starting left tackle Grant Newsom will miss the remainder of the year with a serious knee injury. Newsom injured his right knee during the first half of Saturday's victory over number 8 Wisconsin. He hobbled off the field with help of two trainers. Harbaugh said the damage was as serious as a knee injury can be. Mark D'Antonio confirmed he contacted the Big Ten and that there is no appeals process for Malik McDowell following his ejection against Indiana for targeting. Now, McDowell was deemed to have hit Indiana QB Richard Lego with the crown of his helmet in the fourth quarter, which resulted in his ejection. Now, the penalty means McDowell will also serve a first-half suspension for this weekend's game against BYU. More on Michigan and Michigan State college football in just a minute. We have news coming out of the Michigan State men's basketball camp. MSU forward Ben Carter is out indefinitely after suffering a second knee injury this year that will once again require surgery. The UNLV grad transfer was expected to add depth to the Spartans' thin front court. According to MSU, Carter landed awkwardly after contesting a shot over the weekend, and there is no timetable for his return. Carter averaged 8.6 points and 6 rebounds before tearing a ligament in his knee last year. The Spartans will now lean heavily on Gavin Schilling and Kenny Goins, who is returning from a knee injury of his own. True freshie Nick Ward and Miles Bridges are also expected to receive minutes in the front court and possibly even walk on Matt Van Dyke. So Ben Carter out with a knee injury, folks. After finishing the month of September 5-1, the number 25 MSU men's soccer team looked to continue their hot streak, I should say, on the road against the Ohio State Buckeyes this past Sunday afternoon. Now, the Spartans scored early in the first half, and that was all she wrote. The Spartans beat the Buckeyes 1-0, the lone goal being scored by sophomore forward Ryan Sierakowski. This is the second straight game that Sierakowski has scored the game-winning goal. The Spartans' last four wins have all been 1-0 shutouts, thanks to awesome play from the team's back line and redshirt sophomore goalkeeper Jimmy Haig. And MSU improves to 7-2 overall and 3-1 in the conference. They are set to take on Western Michigan at DeMartin Stadium at 4 p.m. on Wednesday. MSU women's soccer had some struggles as they took on number 19 Rutgers at home this past Sunday afternoon. 17 minutes into the game, Rutgers took a 1-0 lead, and that set the tone for the entire game. The Scarlet Knights beat the Spartans 3-1, despite, quote, competing at a high level for the entire 90 minutes, according to Coach Tom Saxton. MSU now falls to 5-6-1 overall and 2-3 in conference play. The one exciting thing to come from the game was that the one Spartan goal was scored by freshman Madison Van Dyke, her first of the year. The Spartans head on the road this Thursday to take on Northwestern. Ah, the Detroit Lions. Offense was an issue with a lot of Michigan sports teams this weekend, and the Detroit Lions were really no exception. Detroit delivered an uninspired performance against the winless Chicago Bears on Sunday, winless no more, losing 17-14 at Soldier Field. Detroit's offense managed just two field goals against the injury-riddled Bears D, with Andre Roberts scoring the only Lions touchdown on an 85-yard punt return late in the game. Matthew Stafford finished with 213, zero touchdowns, two INTs. The run game couldn't do much either, with Theo Riddick and company gaining only 66 yards on the ground. On a local note, Bears QB and former Spartan Brian Hoyer picked apart the Lions secondary. Get this, 302 yards and two touchdowns. Brian Hoyer was absolutely fantastic. Lions able to get no pressure on Hoyer throughout that entire game. We'll have more on the Lions later on as well. An up-and-down season for the Detroit Tigers ended on a sour note this weekend. The Tigers dropped 2-3 to the last-place Atlanta Braves and officially fell out of the wild-card contention with a 1-0 loss on Sunday. Detroit won't need to play their makeup game against the Cleveland Indians tonight in Detroit, as the game really has no playoff implications for either. Al Avila entering his second offseason as the GM in Detroit, and there will certainly be plenty of speculation as to what he decides to do with Brad Ausmus, Detroit Tigers manager, going forward. Now, since arriving in 2014 to one of the highest payrolls in baseball, Ausmus has failed to make the playoffs the last 2 years after being swept by the Baltimore Orioles in the 2014 ALDS. The Red Wings, that's right, the Detroit Red Wings, folks, improved to 3-0-1. In the preseason with a 6-3 win over the Chicago Blackhawks on Sunday. Behind a 3-goal first period, the Wings never looked back despite the Blackhawks cutting the lead to 1 in the second. Detroit gets back into action on Tuesday night in Chicago. And last but certainly not least, the 41st Ryder Cup delivered on its hype this weekend, especially if you're a USA fan. The Americans defeated Team Europe 17-11 to clinch their first Ryder Cup title since 2008. Patrick Reed was the star for USA, going 3-1-1 over the weekend. Reed defeated Rory McIlroy in Sunday's singles matches in what will be a match for the ages. The 6-point margin of victory for USA was the largest since 1981. All right, folks, so much to get to, so little time. Let's start the show.
To win the game. And a Indiana. They take home the old brass platoon. Heck of a scene here at Memorial Stadium. Indiana, they knock off the 17th ranked team of the country, and they do it in style. They played a solid second half in overtime.
Indiana hasn't beaten Michigan State in 10 years. How good does this one feel?
Look out there. That's how this one feels. Hasn't really processed yet, but this is awesome. Going over there and getting that platoon back. For the Hebner family, we were talking about them a lot. Just how strong they are just as a family, and they give us a lot of strength. So we're really happy to get it back for them.
Second down and 10. Stafford to the outside, and it is picked off. Bears win for the first time this season. Lions drop to 1-3. They will host the Philadelphia Eagles next Sunday as John Fox and Jim Caldwell embrace. First time Caldwell has ever lost to the Bears. He had been 4-0 against Chicago.
Start spring training, your goal is to get the postseason, and we didn't, so we're very disappointed. I think the one thing I'll take away is how well this team did in the second half. We were dead in the water in a lot of people's minds in July, and the guys played hard. They continued to play hard all the way through the last game.
You have joked about it in the past couple of days, all in fun, but what is your confidence level that you'll be back as the Tiger manager next year?
It's not something I'm worried about.
Something he's worried about. Oh boy, what a weekend. What a weekend, folks. You know, I joked this morning on Current State along with Mark Bayshore that the only happy faces going into work this Monday morning were, of course, those who are fans of the University of Michigan. Man, that was a really tough week. And also, yeah, big shout out. You know, as I stated in our headliners, how about the Western Michigan Broncos? Row the boat. I tell you, man, unbelievable year that PJ Fleck is having with the Broncos. PJ Fleck's days are numbered in a good way, because I'm pretty sure he's going to be getting a lot of calls from major programs across this great nation offering him a head coaching job at a bigger school. Enjoy him while you got him, no Bronco fans. So there's so many ways we can begin today's show. We could talk about the Detroit Tigers, postseason hopes completely out the window. Heck, we could even talk about the Detroit Lions and what seemed to be a layup, a gimme, a bunny against the Chicago Bears this weekend. But the Lions always find a way to mess something up, don't they? They have now lost back-to-back games. And, you know, you look at this year for the Lions, and you say to yourself, well, heck, not just back-to-back games, but three in a row, actually. I mean, we have to go back to that Colts win on September 11th to start the season. Three straight losses for the Lions. But you look at the schedule for the Lions, it doesn't get easier. It does not get easier from here, folks. Eagles, Rams, Kirk Cousins and the Redskins finally starting to click. So we could start with them. But let's start with some college football, shall we? The Michigan State football team. Man, oh man, folks. No one saw this coming. MSU and Indiana, Michigan State coming off the loss at home to Wisconsin. A 30-6 romping. Really thought that MSU would come out the gates ready for this one. And to a certain extent, they did. To a certain extent. A big touchdown throw to R.J. Shelton. I watched that throw from Tyler O'Connor as he connected with R.J. for that huge touchdown. And I said to myself, okay, here we go. It was a great throw. Tyler O'Connor put it right on the money. It was a great route ran by Shelton. And I sat back on the couch and said, okay, this is when Michigan State gets it going. That didn't happen, folks. Not at all. And there's so many ways you can break this down. I'm going to start, though, with one word. That being discipline. 11 penalties for the Michigan State football team on Saturday night against Indy. 11 penalties, folks. 4 holding calls. 3 false starts. Those 4 holding calls and 3 false starts came from offensive players and were really just, like I said, lack of discipline infractions. No discipline whatsoever. MSU also had 3 and out drives and went 4-for-15 on third down. Just not winning football at the end of the day. And it goes to overtime, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, Michigan State gets the ball first. And anytime you get the ball first in a college football overtime, I mean, you're thinking touchdown because you just don't know what's going to happen once your opposition gets the football. Anything can happen, right? When they put that ball on the 25 and you're expected to go out there and do work, you don't know what to expect after you give that football up. At the very least, you got to score. You got to score. And then you see Michael Geiger. I couldn't believe that he missed that. Could not believe the struggles that Michael Geiger had on Saturday. The senior, he got blocked on a 40-yard try, missed it well short and wide on a pretty long field goal. We're talking 49 yards here, but, you know, 49-yarder in overtime and that put the ball right in the hands of Indiana to just score. All they had to do was just score. They didn't need a touchdown. And goodness, I mean, just overall special teams. I mean, Drake Martinez, he drew a pair of 15-yard penalties on special teams, including a leaping call in overtime that sustained Indiana's game-winning drive after Griffin Oaks actually missed that 33-yard field goal in OT. So it gave them new life. And we all know what happened after that. So I start with discipline here. 11 penalties, that's not winning football. Tyler O'Connor, a man who certainly had the premier spotlight on his back for the Michigan State football team heading into this one based on his poor, to say the least, performance against Wisconsin the week prior. Look at Tyler's numbers, 21-for-35, 263 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. When evaluating those numbers, folks, not bad. As Mark D'Antonio stated, quote, above average, end quote, when describing the play of Tyler O'Connor. I must agree, you know. But you still saw throughout that game some of the problems that Tyler O'Connor has had in the infancy of this year. Not an accurate quarterback. Underthrows, overthrows, not feeling the pressure in the pocket. Tyler O'Connor to me just, he's an okay quarterback. He's not, you know, when I look at Tyler O'Connor, he just doesn't have that it. You know what I mean? Like that it factor that when you saw Kirk Cousins, when you saw Connor Cook, there was just an it that they had. They exuded confidence. They had both had crazy accurate arms. I mean, every once in a while, I feel like once a game you would see, especially from from Connor Cook, you would see once every game an NFL-type throw. You would. It was guaranteed. Connor Cook can ball. I just don't see that with Tyler O'Connor, though. And we're talking about a senior here, folks. So I think we've seen, right now, what we're seeing from Tyler O'Connor week to week is we are seeing the height of his football career. I don't know how the guys can improve. I mean, this is it right here. We're seeing his best. This is the best we're going to get from Tyler O'Connor, folks. Unfair to expect anything better than what we're seeing from Tyler O'Connor right now. Just because he just doesn't have that it. And there are many people out there I've seen on social media left and right, many people out there calling for Mark D'Antonio to maybe give somebody else a try behind center, Brian Lewerke, maybe a Damian Terry, who knows, right? I'm feeling quite the opposite right now. And the reason being, I mean, we're talking about, you know, week five in the books now. And we're in the thick of things now. I mean, we've begun Big Ten play. I just don't know if we would get any better from O'Connor to a guy like Brian Lewerke or a guy like Damian Terry who really lack experience. I just don't know. I don't feel. And again, I haven't seen. When you talk about these quarterback battles, we can only go based off what we've seen. And we haven't seen much of Damian Terry in game action. We haven't seen much, if at all, really, of Brian Lewerke. I mean, we saw him in that final drive against Wisconsin. But I really don't know how good those guys are. But to create a quarterback controversy right when you begin Big Ten play 0-2, I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I don't know. Injuries. That's another thing I want to touch on. Riley Bulla and John Reschke. Of course, Riley didn't suit up at all. Reschke was out. We saw Chris Fry go down. Darian Hicks was rattled up when he tried to get an interception on the left side of the end zone. And it looked like he fell awkwardly. It was his right arm was right near his hip when he came down, and he was a bit shaken up after that one. Raekwon Williams, he also got shaken up in that game. We saw Brian Allen head to the sidelines. And we even saw running back L.J. Scott go out before returning into the game. I'll be curious to see if Mark D'Antonio, he doesn't like to address injuries during his press conferences, but it'll be very interesting to see if he does address those injuries tomorrow. I mean, you would think he has to, right? So we'll see what Mark has to say about that tomorrow morning. And you look at the Big Ten scheme here, and just looking at the bigger picture here, in the Big Ten East, of course, you have the big dogs, what I like to call them, in Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State. Ohio State and Michigan are both undefeated at 5-0. Michigan State, quite the opposite, as I mentioned. Again, 0-2, you start 0-2 to begin your Big Ten slate. Mark D'Antonio always talks about goals and trying to, quote-unquote, reach higher. Now that you've started the year like this in conference, I think it's time to reevaluate those goals. Mark talks about it all the time. As the year goes on, things happen. Football is a funny game. And you have to sit down and reevaluate things. I think Mark and his staff may be reevaluating things right now. Because I'm still sticking by this, especially watching Michigan against Wisconsin. And we'll talk about this further with Adam Biggers of Today's U Sports, who covered that game. But, you know, Michigan beats a Wisconsin team that just dominated Michigan State the week prior. Michigan looks good right now. First real test of the year for Michigan. And they stood up to it. Defense looked great. Wilton Spate, again, is just getting better and better. He looks so comfortable out there. The run game is efficient. You got a stud in Jabril Peppers. I could go on and on and on. Michigan looks solid right now. Ohio State, just domination over the weekend, not even close. It's unrealistic to think that those two teams are going to fall off the face of the earth to give Michigan State now a realistic shot at still getting the Indy for the Big Ten championship game. I just don't think that's happening. I think Michigan is going to stay 7-0 when they meet the Spartans on October 29th. And now the goal may be to play spoiler. I mean, hey, you do play. You still got Michigan. You still got Ohio State. The goal should be trying to win out the rest of the year, of course, but really trying to prove a point when Michigan comes into Spartan Stadium on October 29th. The goals now shift. I'm just being real here. This is my opinion. If you disagree with it, call in. But I there's no way in my eyes that Michigan State can win the Big Ten East. I think that goal just disappeared with that loss to Indiana over the weekend. Briefly want to touch on the West. Nebraska leading the Big Ten West. How impressive is that, right? They sit at 5-0. Now, again, Nebraska hasn't been tested yet. Heck, they don't even play Michigan State or Michigan this year. They do get Ohio State, though. We'll see how good Nebraska is, but Iowa losing to Northwestern over the weekend? Where in the world did that Northwestern offense come from? Like, out of nowhere, right? My goodness. Iowa is not the team that we thought they were heading into this season. It's going to be between Nebraska and Wisconsin in the Big Ten West, and that is going to be very fun to watch as the year moves along. What's next for Michigan State? They now play a BYU team. The Cougars are coming off a 55-53 victory over Toledo, won by a 19-yard field goal from Rhett Allman as time expired. How about running back Jamal Williams? He had a school record 5 touchdowns and a career-high 286 yards. So the thing about BYU is they've got a great offense, an offense that can put up a lot of points, but that defense gives up a lot of points. What do you think about MSU football now moving forward? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break, got to invite my man to the show, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Consis. Isaac, how you doing?
Yeah, it was a weekend where you really benefited being out of state. That's all I can say about that, because there was nothing to look forward to besides doom and gloom if you were in the state of Michigan this weekend, unless you voted for Michigan or Western Michigan, where there was a bright spot. But Al, I said it, or I hinted at it. I won't say I said it, but I hinted at it last week, and I'm going to flat out say it this week. It's not a problem with coaching. It's not a problem with injuries. All of those, yeah, they could be better from time to time. What it is this year is it's a problem with talent. It's that simple. This team is not as good as they were last year. Just like Iowa is not as good as they were last year. Some teams just have off years, and it's time for Michigan State fans to realize this is that year for them. This is a rebuilding year, or at least you hope it is. But you can't hope to beat Michigan this year. That's plain and simple. If you do, that's great. It's a rivalry game. Emotions will run high, all of that. But Michigan is by far the better team than MSU this year. I don't even want to hear somebody try to make a counter-argument to that. We can both agree on that.
Certainly.
It's plain and simple. Michigan State, it's one thing to lose at home to Wisconsin. Now, it's a whole other thing to get blown out like they did at Wisconsin. And that was the first red herring of the year, is the extent and magnitude of that loss. But to go to Indiana in a game where you're up 14-0, I hear people blaming Tyler O'Connor for that game left and right. That's too easy.
That's on the surface argument. When you look at the stats, you know, Tyler O'Connor had a solid game, to be honest with you.
He was decent.
But it's untimely errors that he had that really stand out in a person's mind when watching that game. That overtime. On that drive, when Tyler just didn't do anything. I mean, he took a sack twice, I think, back-to-back sacks.
Correct.
You know, and it just looked like, what? I mean, that really stands out in a person's mind. But when you go back and look at the game, when you look at the numbers, Tyler O'Connor, I have to agree with Coach D, he played above average.
Yes, he did.
And again, this is a conversation we've had this entire college football year. Tyler O'Connor is trying to replace the most decorated quarterback in Michigan State history. That's a hard thing to do. Those are the biggest shoes in quarterback history here at Michigan State. And Tyler O'Connor is trying to fill them and make it look seamless. A very tall task. There are few on this earth that can do that. So I think that a lot of Spartan fans had unrealistic expectations placed on the shoulders of Tyler O'Connor when this year began. I will say this, though. Your point about, you know, about just this overall year, Isaac. You know, I always say, and I agree with you. I mean, the talent may just not be there for MSU. But on the contrary argument, just to play devil's advocate for a minute, the test of a true powerhouse program is, I always say, is consistent success. Look at Ohio State. True. Ohio State, for example, is a team that no longer has 12 of its star players, seeing as though those 12 went to the next level in the NFL draft this past year. One of the most dominant teams in college football right now, 58 right?
58-zip.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, and that's the thing. And that's the challenge, I think, for D'Antonio, the challenge that he has and has had for a while now, is when your seniors leave and you have this tremendous turnover, can you still win? And right now, that's a bit of a challenge.
I think that's a great point. I can't argue against that whatsoever, and maybe it shows that Michigan State isn't there just yet. D'Antonio has done miraculous things with this team, but maybe they are not a tier one program like so many fans think they are. Alabama, you look at them every single year, their entire defense gets siphoned off into the NFL. Mm-hmm. Next man up. That's the mentality.
And it's seamless,
Ohio
right?
Ohio State,
right.
You've got Braxton Miller go down with an injury the first game of the season. Who is going to replace that dude? He's the best quarterback in the Big Ten. Well, you got two guys who can. Both can win a national championship. Mm-hmm. Next man up. Michigan State, they haven't shown next man up just yet. And on several big stages, they've shown that they can do it. On others, they really haven't. They've looked horrible. Like against Alabama last year, they got cold feet. Against Wisconsin this year, their first real test as a cohesive unit of this season. Mm-hmm. They got cold feet, and they just weren't good enough. It is that consistency, and I agree with you. There are a few years of building, not rebuilding, but building left to go before you can claim that tier one status.
It's going to take a minute, I think. And, I do think the expectations now shift now. What do you think, though, folks? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I see three comments I want to read on our Facebook page when we get back from our first break. And we will also be inviting Adam Biggers of Today's U Sports on the show to break down his thoughts on Michigan college football as well as MSU college football. That and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We're taking your calls as well as reading your comments via social media. Again, Facebook.com/Current Sports and also on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR and at WKAR_Sports. What are your thoughts on what took place this weekend in the world of college football as it concerns the Detroit Lions losing to the Chicago Bears as well as the Detroit Tigers not clinching a wild card berth? So I've got three comments here centered on Michigan State football. This comes from David McNeely. He says, quote, D'Antonio will rebuild this team on the corner of last year's top 20 recruiting class. Plus, MSU has been on the receiving end of lots of luck the last couple of years, and it's regressing to the mean. I wouldn't lose sleep if I was an MSU fan, end quote. I think that's a good point from Dave McNeely. I think that Mark D'Antonio has been doing a great job when it comes to recruiting, and now it's just about harboring that talent and getting that talent experience. Easier said than done, though. All right, Deb Zell says, quote, hey, Al, I'm a diehard Hoosier living here in Spartan country for 40 years now. It's not an easy thing, but, well, Saturday was a good day for me, end quote. Thanks a lot, Deb. And yes, it certainly was a good day for you, Deb, seeing as though you are a Hoosier fan. And also, Deion Harris says, quote, he reminds me of Maxwell in reference to Tyler O'Connor. I think we should turn to Terry now, end quote. Interesting thought. Real briefly here before we bring on Adam Biggers, Isaac, had a conversation with Brad Walker. Brad Walker here at WKAR. He's a big sports nut and a very educated sports nut as well. Love him. Brad brought up an interesting point I didn't even think about. I mean, they do play BYU this weekend. Now, granted, no game this year is a biggie for Michigan State based on how this year has gone thus far. If MSU gets a sizable lead at some point in this game on Saturday at home, I think Mark D'Antonio should maybe throw in Brian Lewerke or Damian Terry just to see what they can do. Why not?
I disagree. I got to say, I really like that Mark D'Antonio kept Tyler O'Connor in as long as he did against Wisconsin. I said that after the game because the thing is, this wasn't a race back and forth, back and forth. We might see both guys coming into the season type thing. This was a Tyler O'Connor ran away with it. We knew that he was going to start 2 months before D'Antonio announced it. There's a reason all of that happened. And the thing is, I don't think there's a better alternative. I don't think there's the possibility of Terry or Lewerke being a better alternative. I say stick with O'Connor, try to refurbish the fan base's support of him. So I think it would stir too much friction within the locker room and the fan base to bring in a backup.
Well, if it's a blowout,
the extent of the blowout.
If he throws him in there when it's a tie game in the third quarter, then we got a legit controversy here. I wouldn't agree with that. But if it's a blowout, who cares? You know, rest your starting quarterback and throw in the backups.
Once it's 40, I'm with you.
Yeah, cool. You know what I mean? I don't think it can harm you in that regard. All right, folks, let's get to our guest for today's show. His name is Adam Bigger, certainly a dear friend. He's also been on Current Sports TV back in the Dizay. He's an assistant editor and sports reporter for today's U Sports. He's actually out in Ann Arbor. He just covered the Jim Harbaugh morning presser, and he will be covering Michigan Men's Basketball Media Day later on this afternoon. Adam Biggers, it's truly a pleasure to talk to you, my man. How you been, Adam?
Al Martin, thanks a lot for having me, man.
How was your summer, dude? We haven't talked to you in a while.
It was great, man. I got to play a lot of baseball, had a good time in the City League, and was just kind of counting off the days for college football to start. So it was a fantastic summer.
That is good stuff, man. Always good chatting with you. Now, Adam, first off, I want to talk about we'll get to MSU in a minute here, but I want to know, did you cover that Michigan and Wisconsin game this past weekend?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What has surprised you about this Michigan team so far this year?
I mean, honestly, there's nothing that has surprised me about Michigan. At this point, I figure they'd be 5-0. Not a whole lot of stuff. Wilton Spate, and here's the thing about Wilton Spate. A lot of people, I think, were kind of rallying behind John O'Korn, want to see John O'Korn. And as soon as Wilton Spate makes a mistake, like the first quarter, you know, against Colorado, he didn't play great. There was a little bit of groaning, you know, Saturday in the early going Saturday against Wisconsin. But at the end of the day, Wilton Spate is Michigan's best quarterback. He continues to progress on a weekly basis. He has great feet, knows how to extend the plays. I asked him Saturday a little bit about, he does have the tendency sometimes when he's trying to evade a sack and kind of spinning away from tacklers to make errant throws a little bit. He did force a couple. This is a redshirt sophomore who's had 5 starts. Defense, as good as advertised. And you know, Al, Michigan's had to deal with some injuries too. You know, Brian Monet just coming back. They lost cornerback Jeremy Clark for the season. Today, Jim Harbaugh said starting left tackle Grant Newsome is likely out for the rest of the season too. So it's a deep team. They're really good. I mean, that's pretty much the only way I could say it. Michigan's a deep team, very talented. I fully expect them to win 10 games this year.
Yeah, they certainly are a good team. And, of course, really in the eyes of many, including myself, coming into that game against Wisconsin, I finally said, okay, if they can beat Wisconsin, a team that really handled Michigan State quite easily, if they can beat Wisconsin their first test of the year, then I'm a believer. So I was really interested. I sat back and watched that entire game. I was very impressed with what the defense was able to do. Again, you mentioned Wilton Spate. He just looks like he's getting better every single week. He's getting just getting comfortable in the pocket. I mean, he's feeling that pressure. He can throw on the run. His instincts are becoming better and better the more I watch him. There was one downside, though. I will say special teams. 3 missed field goals, 2 by fifth-year senior Kenny Allen, and 1 by walk-on Ryan Tice. Did Harbaugh address that this morning? Because I imagine he did.
He did. And you know what's funny about it is I remember, you know, on the conference call last week and then speaking with Jay Harbaugh, his son, tight ends and special teams coordinator, they both said, you know, or they agreed with the idea that special teams would come into play huge. I thought Saturday's game was going to be one that'd be decided by special teams. And if you look at it, yeah, the three field goals, that's 9 points right there. Poor on third down, if it, you know, 3 of 15 on third downs, that could have led to some more points. But yes, the special teams, very uncharacteristic. I mean, you know, Kenny Allen has done a good job. He's handling all three of the duties, and kickoff, punt, and PAT. And Harbaugh said, you know, and he's been saying this in the beginning, that he didn't necessarily want Kenny to shoulder all three of those, and that he would look for ways to lighten the load. So yes, there will be a field goal kicker competition this week between Kenny Allen and Ryan Tyson. that's where they're at with it right now. Kenny Allen will continue to punt and do kickoff, but yeah, it's field goal jobs up for grabs right now.
I love that, you know, and Jim Harbaugh is very honest when it comes to competition within his team. And hey, you know, hey, if you don't perform out in the field, somebody else can come in and take that job. And I love how honest Jim Harbaugh was in saying, yeah, we will have a kicking competition throughout this week. Adam, what was Michigan able to do against Wisconsin that Michigan State didn't do the week prior?
Well, I mean, and while on hold, you know, listening to you guys' points, you know, kind of about Tyler O'Connor. I mean, let's take a look at the quarterbacks right now. I mean, and without going real deep into it with Tyler O'Connor, he's what Michigan State has. He's got a role with him. Spartans have to roll with him. Wilton Spate is the guy for Michigan. And if I had to pick, you know, O'Connor or Spate, who am I? Who's the guy that I got to lean on? It's going to be Wilton Spate, and for a couple of reasons. And Wilton, more athletic. Throws a better ball. He makes great decisions. I know that you know, Tyler's a smart guy and he's been in the system, but I mean that was a huge difference between Michigan State's game against Wisconsin and Michigan's game against Wisconsin, is that Michigan had a quarterback who could kind of dictate the pace and make plays, you know, make things happen. Michigan State didn't have that. Defensive line for Michigan was absolutely huge, Alan. You look at, I mean, these, you know, a ton of guys, 4 or 5. This is a group of 22, you know, 22 players, a lot of fourth-year guy, you know, redshirt juniors, a lot of fifth-year seniors. I mean, there's Ryan Glasgow, Matt Godin, they're loaded. These guys have been playing a ton of football, and they're getting healthier. And I think the defensive line on Saturday was really what kind of helped control the tempo, because the offense wasn't spectacular. The defense was there. And then you look at, you know, Jordan Lewis's interception. But I really believe that two of the big differences for Michigan were, you know, superior D-line and a superior quarterback.
And, you know, I always say when you evaluate a defense, you know, what immediately has a direct relation to success defensively is your corners. If you have great corners, hey, it seems like the defense, everything else kind of falls into place, if you ask me, because it really takes away the blunt of that passing game. And Jordan Lewis, and also, you know, Shanning Stribling. I mean, those two are so fantastic on the edges. And I gotta ask, what went through your mind, Adam, when you saw that one-handed interception from Jordan Lewis? Because that was pretty sweet. Falling down, missed time to jump and everything.
You know, well, watching it happen from up in the box, you know, you don't get to see it for what it is. You know, I realized it was like, you know, hey, we just saw one hell of a play, a pick that you're probably not going to see. I had to watch the replay a few times and a few more times after that. And, I mean, he floated, you know, for 5 yards, just the one hand. I mean, to be able to do – Jordan Lewis basically defied physics on that play, controlling his body in midair, making the one-handed catch, being able to come down with it and hold on to the ball. I mean, there were so many things about that play that just make you go, man, Jordan Lewis is a damn good football player. And mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people, you know, being on Twitter, were kind of like, oh, wow, this Jordan Lewis kid. And I kind of stepped back a little bit. And I think anybody who's watched Michigan football, you know, certainly people who cover Michigan football, anybody who's familiar with Michigan football saw this kind of future for Jordan. Even since he was a freshman, he's shown, you know, those glimpses of being a special player, especially, you know, sophomore year, he really came on. Last year, All-American season. I mean, I would challenge anybody to name three better one-on-one corners than Jordan Lewis. I don't think he can do it right now. I don't think there's much of a debate at all to say that Jordan Lewis is the best cornerback in college football.
He is very good, to say the least, Adam. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Adam Biggers, assistant editor and sports reporter for today's U Sports. I'm going to put you on the spot here now, Adam. Just based on, again, I know it's early, but just based on what we've seen these past few weeks here, who do you think wins the Big Ten East and Big Ten West? Who are your favorites?
That's a good question. I still think you got to look at Wisconsin in the West, and you know, Nebraska. I'm not really sure Iowa anymore. In the East, it's definitely Michigan or Ohio State. And in the beginning of the year, I picked Ohio State to win the Big Ten. And I do think that Michigan beats Michigan State this year. I think you and I talked about that in studio back in spring. I think, yeah, that it's going to come East is going to come down to Michigan, Ohio State. I don't think there's much question about that. West, you know, still kind of, I'm a little bit foggy on, but I'm kind of leaning right now in Nebraska or Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. And that's the point I made during our first segment, Adam. I just think that, and again, Nebraska hasn't been tested yet. And I mentioned how they don't play Michigan State. They don't play Michigan this year. They do play Ohio State. Nebraska has not been tested, but they do. They still sit undefeated. Wisconsin, we've seen a much greater body of work based on, in relevance, I should say, the competition when it comes to Wisconsin. And they've shown that they can hold their own at the end of the day. So it's definitely going to come down to those two out in the West. And obviously now with Michigan State starting off the conference year with two losses, it's either going to be Ohio State or Michigan. Based on, you know, what you've seen from Michigan State, what's going wrong with the Spartans right now, Adam?
I guess but where do I start?
Right.
Hey, and look, let me make one thing clear. If we're talking about an 8-4 or 9-3 season as a rebuilding year, I think that's just the sign of, and you guys have, you know, touched on this many times as well, of the job that Mark D'Antonio has done. I'll tell you, you know, I remember 6-6, 7-5, 5-7, very common. After, you know, 4-0 start, 4-1 start, something like that, you hit the Big Ten season and watch Michigan State fall apart. I know that people are used to them winning. And, you know, and there's a lot of new Spartans fans out there, too. And those are the ones who are kind of quicker on the criticism right now, because they're like, hey, this isn't the team that I bandwagoned. You know, this isn't the team that, you know, I thought was going to win 10, 11 games every year. It isn't that team this year, but if we look at what D'Antonio's done, and like I said, if an 8-4 or 9-3 year is a rebuilding year, then it's a lot better than what the alternative was. Tyler O'Connor, you know, when you lose two All-Americans up front, that's going to create some problems. I mean, Tyler, a first-year starter, I mean, on the defense, I mean, how many defensive linemen did they lose? How many members of the secondary did they lose? And it's a cycle, Al, as you know. I mean, college football is a cycle. This is the end of a cycle for Mark D'Antonio, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. I do believe Michigan State wins at least 8 games this year. I would hope so for their sake. And you know, and that's how it goes. But it's not a playoff year. It's not going to be a Big Ten championship contending season. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a respectable year. You know, transition from quarterback, you're transitioning a bunch of pieces on defense. And like I said, you lose, especially when you lose a guy like Conklin up on the offensive line, there are going to be struggles. So that's just what's happening. It's not Michigan State's year, you know, to put it simply.
I have to agree with you 100%, Adam. Before we get you out of here, I know that you will be covering the Michigan Men's Basketball Media Day in the matter of hours now. And I actually saw on social media, and if correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw Jalen Rose in town as well as DJ Khaled for the jersey unveiling, the Jordan Jumpman jersey unveiling for the men's and the women's basketball team. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was. I actually had planned to go Friday, but I wasn't able to come down Friday. But, yeah, it was more of a fan event. You know, there was some media availability. But for the most part, you know, like you mentioned, yeah, DJ Khaled here, and you know, and Jalen Rose and the Jordan unveiling. It was to get them pumped up. I think John Beilein. I was just speaking with Sam Webb not too long ago, scout in WTKA here in Ann Arbor, and he and I were, you know, kind of came upon an agreement as far as we think that Mo Wagner. I really think that Mo Wagner. He's put on 20 pounds. You saw the way that he played in the Big Ten tournament last year. Young kid, tons of skill. I think Mo Wagner is going to be in line for a big year. And of course, you know, you expect a lot from Derek Wong. You know, you're familiar with Derek. He's a senior point guard. He's got to run the show. But Michigan basketball is in good hands with John Beilein. I think, you know, it is a state of transition when you lose LaValle and Bakari, and, you know, you bring in two new assistants. And this is a transition year, but I don't think it's going to be something that overwhelms Michigan. I think that you can look at transition in two ways. It can be transition into maybe something not good, or transition into something bigger and greater. And I do think that right now, if you just look at everything that Michigan has going for it and apply that to the basketball program, it's a transition into something that's bigger and better.
Yeah, and I've always said I love John Beilein. I think he's one of the best college basketball coaches in the land, and I think he's going to do a great job with this program this upcoming year. And quick question, Adam, do you like the new jerseys or not?
I'm indifferent. They don't look bad. I think they look better than the Adidas. I'm a Nike Jordan guy myself, but as far as I'm indifferent. I mean, they're not bad,
right?
but they're not a. I'm not. I'm
your
not
your
a,
jaw isn't on the floor.
Like,
let's put it that
oh,
way.
Man, these are,
right.
Yeah.
I hear you, Adam. Well, I tell you what, man. I look forward to bumping into you one of these days, dude. Again, if you want to read Adam's work, just simply go to todaysyou.com, and you can also follow him on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Adam, thanks so much for your time, my man. You were great.
Hey, thanks a lot, Al. I'll see you in East Lansing for basketball season, I'm sure.
You got it. Looking forward to it, man.
All right, thanks.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by chatting a bit about the Lions and Tigers, and we will have your weekend winners. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, you can join the show by simply picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or follow us on Twitter at AlMartinWKAR or at WKAR_sports. We've been reading your comments. Center on the conversation of the Michigan State football team, the Michigan football team, the Lions and the Tigers. And I've read a few of your comments, and many of them concerning, of course, Tyler O'Connor and whether or not Michigan State should make a quarterback change. And is it realistic to expect this team to now get to the Big Ten championship game out in Indy? And one more comment here. I've mentioned a comment from Deion Harris, who says, quote, reminds me of Andrew Maxwell in relation to Tyler O'Connor. I think we should try Terry now. Also, Conrad comments on our Facebook page and says, I also think it's time to give Terry a chance. Interesting stuff. All right, well, 5 minutes left here in the show. Each and every Monday here on the show, we love to recap the weekend that was in sports and bring to you what we call our weekend winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
All right, folks, so who exactly had the best weekend in sports? Well, I want to start with the Ryder Cup team. Unbelievable stuff, folks. The 41st Ryder Cup was absolutely thrilling. Probably my favorite event in the game of golf to sit back and watch. The Americans defeated Team Europe 17-11 to clinch their first Ryder Cup title since 2008. Yes, it has been 8 years since the US of A have won this competition. It got heated as well. I don't know if you guys saw Rory McIlroy got into it with the fan. There was a lot of trash talking going on. Oh, I love it. I love it. It's really the only event that you can really just see the trash talking directly happening between players as well as fans who are in attendance. It was fun stuff, right? Patrick Reed was the star for the USA, going 3-1-1 over the weekend. And check out this eagle he had.
Six. Patrick Reed now with his third here, all square in this match.
79 yards.
Can he pull it back? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. How about it?
Patrick Reed, folks, looking out like Al Woods out in the links. Gotta love that. Patrick Reed, congratulations to Team USA. That was a huge win and a huge weekend for them. My weekend loser, I should say losers. I mean, how can you not pick the Detroit Lions and the Detroit Tigers? Need I say more? Yeah, just to relive one more moment here. Here's a Matthew Stafford interception.
Stafford to the outside, and it is picked off and taken down the sideline by Jacoby Glenn.
Matthew Stafford, just 23 of 36 on the day for 213 yards, out of sync. I mean, it was a bad, bad weekend for Stafford. I mean, statistically, his worst passing day since week 5 of last year. And if you remember that game, it was a blowout loss to the Arizona Cardinals, and Matthew Stafford was actually benched. So many problems with this Lions team, including the run game, Theo Riddick, Dwayne Washington, Zach Zinner, just 3 yards per carry on their 16 carries. Did not have a rush longer than 11 yards. Disappointing stuff. And they will have their hands full at home this weekend as they take on the Philadelphia Eagles, who currently lead the NFC East at 3-0. Isaac.
Yeah, I've got a few. How about for college football fans in general? What a weekend it was.
Yeah.
Winner is Louisville. Believe it or not, it is Louisville. Even though they lost the game, Lamar Jackson and the Cardinals are for real, and we saw that when they played Clemson. Clemson, of course, also a winner. Then you've got the Tennessee ending a Hail Mary, and the forgotten one, North Carolina, Florida State. You saw DeAndre Francois duck under a tackler, look like Leonard Fournette out there against Auburn last year, and then dive for the touchdown, 23 seconds left. But uh-oh, North Carolina marched down to the field, and field goal from 54, something like that. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing game, and everybody's forgetting about it.
Yeah, and that Louisville and Clemson game, I didn't get to see most of it because I was watching the MSU game at the same time, but everybody's forgotten about Clemson. You know, Clemson is like, you know, the girl that you used to have a crush on, you know what I mean? But then another a better-looking one comes in the class, and you're like, oh, my goodness.
But then you see the girl again, and you're like,
Yeah, like debating.
Come prom night. You've got those thoughts. Yeah.
Exactly. Either one of them, right? But, yeah, they're like the forgotten pretty girl, though. But Clemson, love Deshaun Tate. I think he's right in that conversation with the Heisman as well. Well, that wraps up today's show. Much thanks to Adam Biggers and to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Be easy, people.